today we are continuing our summer sermon series on lessons in sevens. And today we get to talk about what is commonly known as the seven pillars of wisdom. The seven pillars of wisdom. Who wants some more wisdom in their life, right? I wish I had known this at the time I made the decision, right, Clayfield, right? So, a wise man once said to God, "Give me an understanding heart. Give me wisdom and knowledge." That wise man was a young king named Solomon. And what I just said to you was a mashup of 2 Chronicles 1:10 and 1 Kings 3:9. In one, he asked for understanding of heart, and the other one, he asked for wisdom and knowledge. But he's asking for the same thing. And if we go to 1 Kings chapter 3, we're going to read about how that took place. 1 Kings chapter 3, starting at verse 3. "So Solomon loved the Lord and followed all the decrees of his father David, except that Solomon too offered sacrifices and burnt incense at the local places of worship. The most important of these places of worship was at Gibeon. So the king went there and sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. That night, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, 'What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you.'" What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you. Solomon replied, "You showed faithful love to your servant, my father, David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you have continued your faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord God, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours?" Huge, right? How humble, how wise is this young King Solomon already? He knows his place in God's kingdom. He knows that God comes before everything. And he knows that through God's favor, he has been called to humbly serve God's people. Listen to what he says again. "Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well." Your people. He's not saying, "Hey, you gave me these people, I'll take care of them." He's your people. "Well, and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours?" Wow, if we all had just a little bit of Solomon's humbleness, right? "The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replied, 'Because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life, have not asked for wealth, have not asked for death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart, such as no one else has ever had or ever will have.'" And here's how God works. "And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. And if you will follow me and obey my decrees and my commands as your father David did, I will give you long life." A wise man once asked God for an understanding heart, for wisdom and knowledge. A lot of times we think that we are not the one for whatever God's calling us to do because I don't have that gift. Well, if we all have God within us, we've got everything, right? Solomon's asking for something that he already has. What he's doing is he's acknowledging to God that he needs God's guidance and direction above everything. A wise man once asked God for wisdom. So let's take a look at what Solomon wrote about wisdom in Proverbs. If you flip over to Proverbs chapter 9. So Proverbs, also known as the Book of Wisdom, is said that Solomon wrote the majority of it. And there's nuggets of wisdom here all the time. But in chapter 9 and chapter 8, we're going to focus on that today. So I'm actually going to back up to chapter 8, 1 through 21. And in these words, you can see Solomon's passion for wisdom. Listen as wisdom calls out. Hear as understanding raises her voice. On the hilltop along the road, she takes her stand at the crossroads. By the gates at the entrance to the town, on the road leading in, she cries aloud, I call to you, to all of you. I raise my voice to all people. You simple people, use good judgment. You foolish people, show some understanding. Listen to me, for I have important things to tell you. Everything I say is right, for I speak the truth and detest every kind of deception. My advice is wholesome. There is nothing devious or crooked in it. My words are plain to anyone with understanding, clear to those with knowledge. Choose my instruction rather than silver, and knowledge rather than pure gold. For wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare to it. I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride and arrogance, corruption and perverse speech. Common sense and success belong to me. Insight and strength are mine. Because of me, kings reign and rulers make just decrees. Rulers lead with my help, and nobles make righteous judgments. I love all who love me. Those who search will surely find me. I have riches and honor, as well as enduring wealth and justice. My gifts are better than gold, even the purest gold. My wage is better than sterling silver. I walk in righteousness, in paths of justice. Those who love me inherit wealth. I will fill their treasures. Listen to the passion that Solomon is pouring into trying to explain what wisdom is to you. If we go over to chapter 9, wisdom has built her house. She has carved its seven columns. Lessons in sevens. Keep her. His seven columns. She has prepared a great banquet, mixed the wines, and set the table. She has sent her servants to invite everyone to come. She calls out from the heights overlooking the city. Come in with me, she urges the simple. To those who lack good judgment, she says, come eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways behind and begin to live. Learn to use good judgment. Tip one, leave your simple ways behind and begin to live. Learn to use good judgment. Anyone who rebukes a mocker will get an insult in return. Anyone who corrects the wicked will get hurt. So don't bother correcting mockers. They will only hate you. But correct the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be even wiser. Teach the righteousness, and they will learn even more. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. If you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. If you scorn wisdom, you will be the one to suffer. That's a lot of nuggets in there, right? And now here he explains the opposite. Starting in verse 13. The woman named Folly is brash. She is ignorant and doesn't know it. She sits in her doorway on the heights overlooking the city. She calls out to men going by who are minding their own business. Come in with me, she urges the simple. To those who lack good judgment, she says, stolen water is refreshing. Food eaten in secret tastes the best. But little do they know that the dead are there. Her guests are in the depths of the grave. So what is Solomon trying to show us here? You've got wisdom versus folly. You've got good versus evil. You've got God versus who? The devil. You've got like the good angel and the bad angel, if you want a visualization. Right? What Solomon is doing here is he's stating his case for wisdom. Solomon wants, whoever reads these scriptures, he wants us to have what he has. Solomon does not want to keep wisdom to himself. He wrote a whole book about it for people to know about wisdom. He is urging us to fear the Lord and be wise, to use good judgment, and to encourage each other to continue down the path of wisdom, which will draw us closer to God. Because why? God's the foundation of wisdom. How great was a king that wanted his people, that he thought of as God's people, to have exactly what he has. Exactly what he has. There's a lot of kings talked about in this book. And they are all not like Solomon. There's different kings that take. This is mine, this is mine, this is mine. You are nothing to me. You should have nothing. I should have everything. I'm the king. Solomon's not like that. He wants everybody to have everything that he has. He wants everybody to have that relationship with God that he has. He wants everybody to live the best lives that they can. And the only way we can live our best lives is through who? Jesus Christ, who was sent by the Father God. So how do we know a wise choice from a folly choice? Huh? How do we know? Because there's different times that I can justify to myself that what I'm doing is the right thing. And then somebody's like, explain to me again why you think that's right. And I entered that justification circle. Well, because blah, 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 blah. Does that really make sense? Well, I guess now that you're calling me out, no. But it sounded good how I put it out there, right? So how can we hold ourselves accountable? How can we hold each other accountable? Well, we can go to James. We can go to James chapter 3 here. How do we have confirmation we are following God's direction? So we go to James chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at times, willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It does not show favoritism and is always sincere. How many fingers do I have holding up? Seven! And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Wow. So there's seven things that we can test up against our decisions, right? So when I'm making a decision, what can I say? Is it pure? Is it peaceful? Is it so forth? But look at how cool this is. If you go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, check this out. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. A little bit of an overlap there, right? So where does wisdom come from? Holy buckets, the wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit. Maybe God knew. Remember Pastor Lisa's sermon a couple weeks ago when she read in the beginning? What was that? In the beginning, wasn't there something about the Spirit hovering over the waters? In the beginning, the Spirit hovered over the waters. God had a complete plan from the beginning. 7 days, he had this complete plan. He knew that we would need wisdom. He knew that we would need something that would guide us in that wisdom. So how do we become wise? We allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. It's turning to God as our foundation. Wisdom versus folly. Right versus wrong. Good versus evil. Sometimes it gets confusing in life, right? Because you think you have 4 different directions you could go, or maybe more. There's really only 2. There's either following God or there's not following God. If we back up in James in chapter 3 and we start from verse 13. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Let's visualize this. The fear of the Lord is the foundation. You see the foundation of our building? For those of you that are listening on the radio, what I've put up is like a building, and it's got 7 columns, and it's got a big foundation at the bottom with fear of the Lord on it. The Lord is our foundation. And what are our pillars? We've got purity, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, merciful, humble, sincere. So, somebody did something to me, and I'm upset about it. I've got 2 choices. I can forgive them and move on, or I can get my vengeance. They did to me, I'm going to do to them. Well, let's see. Let's see what I can check off with vengeance. Purity. Probably not. Peaceable. Definitely not that one. Vengeance is, my vengeance is, could be gentle. Nope, probably not. Am I reasonable right now thinking about what I can do to that individual? Probably not. Definitely not showing mercy. Taking things into my own hands doesn't really cry out humbleness. I am pretty sincere about how mad I am right now, though. I mean, I can... Maybe I can justify that one. Oh, wait, there's justifying. So, all right, let's go back to our pros and cons of folly versus wisdom. So then I've got forgiveness. Forgiveness comes from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is what? Pure and holy. Okay, check. Jesus brought peace. Forgiveness would be the gentle road. It is pretty reasonable. I mean, people do make mistakes, and I'm sure that they didn't intend to hurt me. And if they did, well, maybe we should pray for them. Gosh, Jesus shows me mercy every single day. It would be showing mercy to forgive. It is pretty humbling to lay down your angst and anger and put it in God's hands. And if I were to do that, I'd have to be completely and utterly sincere about it. Otherwise, I'd be lying and boasting. So which one is the wise decision? Which one stands on the foundation of the Lord? Forgiveness. So maybe I'll choose forgiveness towards this person instead of vengeance. Since if I'm wanting to be a wise person, wisdom comes from God, then I should probably use the seven pillars of wisdom maybe to help me make decisions. Pretty easy scenario. You're saying, Pastor Tosh, that was easy. I promise you, if you have a decision that you need to make in your life, and you get out a sheet of paper, and you write down those seven pillars at the top of your page, and you put your pro list and your cons list, and you check off just like we did, you're going to know the answer that God's leading you to. I guarantee it. If you're spinning and spinning and you're having a hard time talking to God, sometimes doing a simple task like this can make everything clear. Isn't God cool? He puts it right here in the book. I mean, there's a list that you can follow. And see how God makes it complete? It was over here in Proverbs that we had a little scenario where Solomon wrote out wisdom being a lady on the street calling people in, folly being a lady on the street calling people in, different things. It's kind of like, wait, what are they? And then, look, thousands of years later, he's like, look, I'm going to be more direct with you guys. Is it pure? Is it peace-loving? He puts a list for you. And if you didn't get it that way, he's got Galatians throwing out the fruits of the Spirit. Let's look at that list with taking our vengeance and forgiveness. Forgiveness, is it going to have the fruits of the Spirit? By gum golly, yes. Vengeance, is it going to have the fruits of the Spirit? Absolutely no. Yes, I did say that. Our decisions, be them small decisions in our lives or be big decisions in our lives, they affect the people in our lives, including ourselves. And if God is not in every single decision, it could have consequences that are not the consequences that we want to have mulling around in our lives. I don't know about you, but I would love to have a pure, peace, gentle, reasonable, merciful, humble, sincere life. Think about the opposite of all those things. That's not how I want my life to be. I mean, unless somewhere in here we've got that drama person that just can't get enough of the drama. Leave that for TV or something, you know? Like, do you really want that in your life? Maybe you've become accustomed to that because that's how life has been for you, and it's hard to change and break from that. Think about the end goal there. If you start making those decisions, that's going to lead up to a peaceful life. It's going to blow your mind how life can be. If you start using God as your foundation for decision making. What would the world be like if everyone were wise? What would the world be like if everybody put God as their foundation and took their decisions up against this? I'm pretty sure when you turn on the news, it would not be what it is every day. Tragedy after tragedy. Photos that just burn into the back of your brain. You can't get them out. What would the world be like if we were all a wise man that asked for wisdom? If we all asked for an understanding heart? That means instead of me judging somebody for what they're doing because I don't understand it, I ask for clarity. I ask for love. What would the world be like? What could your world start being? I challenge you to be that wise man that asks for wisdom, that turns to God for everything. I guarantee you're going to see God in a whole new light when you start putting this into practice in your life. You're going to start to see things that you never saw before. You're going to understand God in a whole new way when you start applying the seven pillars of wisdom to your life. You're going to discover things that you thought you knew, but now you know them. I promise you that. And I pray that God can touch you right now and that He can speak to you about what you need to do.